Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And today our special guest is Bill Sardi. Now, if you want to call in, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or out across America is, here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But hold your calls, because Bill and I have been talking about genetic engineering. And, of course, the fact that we have unleashed all sorts of things. The average American is not being allowed to hear about this. The people of Europe, of course, have really rejected this. The people in England have rejected it. The Royal Society has come up and raised some very, very serious questions in London about the implications of genetic engineering. But because of the degree of control that exists here in the United States, the average American really doesn't know what this is all about, and he can't imagine that we would be doing these things if they might be harmful. And he would think that, well, gee, if this is bad, of course the manufacturer will be held responsible. Well, lots of luck. I hate to tell you this, but our manufacturers really, in many instances, are above the law. They're the ones, of course, who provide the large sums of money for our politicians to run. And when push comes to shove, why they're not going to be the ones who are going to be held responsible for much of anything. And we were going to talk something about some of these amazing new vaccines that they're coming up with today for, what's this new vaccine they have for anthrax, Bill?
Well, the new vaccine for anthrax, of course, I think, did you hear the report today on the smallpox, that the smallpox vaccine probably works for decades, and that probably people that were vaccinated decades ago now, it appears they dragged their feet in letting us know about this. And, of course, now they're on to an anthrax vaccine. Of course, all of this being developed by, you know, not even by private companies, but it seems to be starting by the United States Army, the Fort Detrick, of course, Biological Warfare Center, where, of course, they're developing, you know, defenses against biological threats of some kind. So these are going to be developed and used as genetically engineered virus vaccines, excuse me. And, of course, they're working on these rapidly, so that we can take them, as I said, in an edible form or possibly as a nasal spray. And they're being developed by the United States Army, and the Army is both developing defenses against biological warfare, as well as developing vaccines and drugs to prevent disease, all in the same laboratory. And this, of course, makes us concerned. If you want to see the exact report, it's at wired.com, W-I-R-E-D, and the title of the report is Take These Genes and Call Me in the Morning. But they're talking about the possibility of doing all this biotechnology to prevent disease or to course, thwart a biological threat of some kind by some bioterrorist. But the problem is they're doing all this in the same laboratory, and we're wondering if somebody with a sinister intent might create a disease for which only one drug company's antidote would be the remedy, and that would make them millions of dollars. So we get a little concerned about these things.
And, of course, when you're doing these things in one laboratory, the possibility of transfers or horizontal spread from one experiment to another is really there. It's really very real. They've made so many mistakes in the past. Can we really trust them today? We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Bill Sardi. We'll welcome your calls right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Our special guest today is Bill Sardi, and of course, our previous hour, we were talking about genetic engineering of crops, genetic engineering of vaccines, and what all of this means to you. And of course, we were pointing out that they've been doing these genetic engineering programs really going back to the early 60s with something called the Special Virus Cancer Program that, of course, was so successful that the CIA had them destroy all of the various reports from number one up to number nine. Fortunately, these are available because they didn't do even a very good job at that. And, of course, you get into the macabre things that they were doing as they were taking viruses, cancer viruses, and implanting them into animals, and then using those animals for other experiments, and taking the serum of those animals and giving into human beings, and in the process introducing cancer viruses and other viruses and other diseases into people. Some of this is really so incredible and macabre, it's very difficult to believe, that they would actually grow hepatitis B, the virus itself, in children at the Willowbrook School. They were mentally defective children. And so without anybody's permission, they simply infected them with hepatitis B because they weren't very useful individuals, and this was done for years. That's where the original hepatitis B vaccine came from, but most people don't know about that. Well, Bill, I know you're very concerned about what's going on. Why don't you sort of share with our listeners just for a moment till we bring our last station back on?
Well, of course, we are concerned because we're not exactly sure about this SARS virus. It doesn't act like a regular coronavirus. For one thing, coronaviruses generally attack the upper respiratory system. This one is attacking the lower respiratory lobes of the lung, and, of course, in a vicious way. And also, generally coronaviruses mutate rapidly. So what they did is they analyzed the viruses they had in Canada versus in Asia and other parts of the world, and yet they weren't mutating rapidly. They were rather constant, and so this was unusual for a coronavirus. They were hoping it would mutate into a less, of course, a less potent form.
We're going to have to interrupt you. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I will tell you I'm very, very concerned about the SARS virus, and I will tell you I've talked to very high-level scientists, people who really are at the top of their field, and at least one of them I've talked to really believes this was biologically engineered. In fact, he called me about a week after we'd had him on the program last time, and he said, you know, now they're finding that this virus will actually live outside the human body on a plastic surface or on a doorknob for 24 hours. He said, there's no way that this could be an ordinary coronavirus, and in no way it could have possibly mutated this quickly to change its structure. And, of course, the inference was that this was really a man-made virus. Now, was it a mistake? Was this something that they did by accident? And Bill will explore a little of that here in just a few moments as he begins talking about some of the genetic experiments they were actually carrying out to create a new vaccine for the coronavirus that inhabits pigs, the intestines of pigs. But we have scientists out there who are doing all sorts of macabre experiments. And I simply quoted a book during the first hour. It's called Genetic Engineering, Dream or Nightmare. And it's on page 17. It points out that according to a report from the World Health Organization for 1996, at least 30 new diseases, including AIDS, Ebola, and hepatitis C, have emerged over the last 20 years. Now, where did these diseases come from? Well, we know, for instance, that they are working on creating new diseases in the laboratories. We know that the first cases of Ebola developed in a place called Marburg, Germany, and they were actually found in monkeys that had been sent from Africa to Marburg, Germany, and two other towns in southern Europe. And they were going to be used to sacrifice and then use the kidneys to create the polio vaccine and give it all over Africa. Fortunately, they isolated the monkeys temporarily after 30 days and they began to die, and then the people taking care of them began to die. But what was this doing in, of course, in laboratory monkeys? It was not in the animal population at that time anywhere in Africa. And I will tell you, now Ebola has gotten into the gorilla population. It's being destroyed. So how is it going from humans into gorillas, unless, of course, they have done something to break down the barrier, which protects animals from getting human diseases and humans from getting animal diseases. And that's exactly what happens when you begin doing these macabre experiments, beginning to play God. And then, of course, we've come up, as I mentioned during the first hour, with a new flesh-eating bacteria, a streptococcus, that is different than any other streptococcus that's ever existed because it's infected with a virus. And that's, of course, what they do. They will take these viruses and they will infect bacteria to take new genetic products into these into the bacteria and change their genetic makeup. And we have people who are out there playing God. And of course, is the genie out of the bottle? I believe it is, and I believe that. In fact, I have, can give you the reference to Dr. Hillerman, who is in charge of Merck, saying we brought AIDS to America when we brought the green monkeys here. And Dr. Len Horwitz actually has that tape of that up on his webpage. You can actually hear Dr. Hillerman saying that. Of course, most scientists are not going to be quite that forthright, because think of the implications. Over 28 million people are already dead. Of course, in the paper they say it's only 20 million. They simply lie. And to get the information on how many people have died is very difficult. This is an organized effort to confuse the American people. And we'll be giving you those statistics and their source in our next newsletter. But, Bill, let's get into the SARS virus, because you've really looked into this. This is an entirely new type of virus. This coronavirus, we've never had a coronavirus that, of course, involved the lungs. The coronavirus typically involves the upper respiratory tract. This one not only involves the lungs, it involves the gut. This is an entirely new virus. Where did it come from? Well, we know that they're producing viruses in the labs all the time, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are. It was Professor Joe Cummings, who's the Department of Biology, University of Western Ontario in Canada, who is quoted as saying, "None of these early reports on SARS have acknowledged the large body of reports on the genetic manipulation of coronaviruses in the laboratory, nor have they considered the possibility that the unique virus known as SARS arose as a laboratory accident or a purposeful experiment." Again, we have the right to be skeptical, to ask, because this appears to be too incriminating. Parts of that SARS virus genome appear to be, in part, a SARS coronavirus that attacks the digestive tract. Another one appears to be a segment that attracts the lower respiratory tract. Another part appears to be different bugs altogether, maybe chlamydia, maybe a different kind of virus altogether. It appears to be a patchwork job, not something that would mutate and occur naturally. And by the way, this is still a mystery, this SARS virus attack, because only 40% of the people who've been diagnosed with probable cases of SARS, they only can diagnose it right now with symptomology. That's all we know. We know the symptoms, the fever, and then the dry cough, and then, of course, the symptoms of pneumonia. And what we have here is about 40% of the cases don't even exhibit any of this coronavirus. 14% of the people who don't have coronavirus SARS infection seem to harbor it. So we're not exactly sure whether it's been triggered in them yet or they're harboring this. And then, of course, we have new information that after people are discharged from hospitals and go home and seem to have mounted, again, we're just depending on the entire human immune system to fight this disease, that after it's been conquered, that some people come back to the hospital with a renewed case again. So, this has brought about a lot of concern that maybe it's harbored. As for everyone's knowledge, the herpes virus, you never get rid of it once it's on board in your body. Maybe 80, 90% of the human population, if they live long enough, will get a herpes virus. Herpes viruses are attacked by the immune system. Some of them go hide in the nervous system, where they remain dormant and then come out later in life. And that's what we call shingles, Bell's palsy, herpes of the genital tract, and so on. So we can have a herpes cold sore or an infection again, those are triggered by stress, by sunlight. Herpes virus is also triggered by an amino acid called arginine, which is very rich in chocolates, nuts, and gelatin. So we tell people with herpes viruses, stay away from chocolates, nuts, and gelatin. But we're going to even get into the natural cure for SARS, because I know it's got everybody on edge. And actually, the whole world is looking for a cure. Doctors in Hong Kong are actually taking the serum out of the blood of people who have SARS and then using those antibodies they built up to treat the next patients. Of course, we couldn't keep up with a pandemic that way, but it gives us hope there's some treatment for acute cases of some kind. But where they're headed is that the SARS little virus, like I said, it comes down and attacks the cells in your body, and it has a little spike or like a little needle, and it digs down in the membrane of your cells, creates a little enzyme called aminopeptidase, and then that opens the hole so that it can inject the genetic material for the virus to get started in your cells. Well, there is a little drug that they're experimenting with in China. It's an existing drug. It's not a patentable drug anymore. It's called Bestatin, B-E-S-T-A-T-I-N, also goes by the word Ubenamex, and that's the drug they're experimenting with because it stops the little enzyme that allows the virus to get inside our cells. It's called an aminopeptidase N blocker. Well, little be known, there's a little product in the health food stores that does the same thing. It comes from red onions and the peel of red apples. It's called quercetin. You might want to write it down if you're listening today. Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. You want to find out more about it, go to my website, askbillsardi.com. But quercetin plus vitamin C can be found by many companies. Give you all the citations at my website, because quercetin plus vitamin C blocks aminopeptidase N, the very doorway for SARS to enter your cells. So if you're forced to travel or you're worried about SARS, and actually quercetin is an antidote to the influenza virus, the polio virus, herpes viruses, and a host of other viruses, you want a great weapon against viruses. Nature provides one. It's quercetin plus vitamin C. You can find it in health food stores.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the thing is that the major protection that we have is building up our own immune system. And so much of what we're doing today in contemporary society is through our patterns of eating and certainly not getting adequate vitamins and minerals is to weaken us. And then, of course, we go to the doctor and, oh, give me a vaccine for the flu. And yet, of course, that vaccine that you take for the flu is not going to do any good if you don't have an immune system, because you have to actually mobilize the immune system before the vaccine will do any good. And of course, more and more people are taking the flu vaccine. They're advocating it for children now. And I will tell you, quite frankly, I have never taken a shot for flu, and because of course the complication rate for this is unacceptable. The incidence of Guillain-Barré and other diseases that have come along with this, but of course they are really pushing this today. Over here from the government, we're here to help, and you want to take your flu shot so you don't get the flu. And most people who take the flu get the flu for a couple of days, don't they?
Well, they sure do. You know, or at least there's a little feverish reaction, or people feel weak, or so on. And I think people are not told, especially the elderly, that these flu shots work in only a percentage of the patients. I mean, you get flu shots, maybe 50-60% of it. It takes hold. You have to have an immune system working in order for it to take hold, and that's what we're not told.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Bill Sardi. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're really talking about a book. It's called Genetic Engineering, Dream and Nightmare by Mae Wan Ho. And, of course, she is a very liberal lady. She was a genetic engineer. She was working in her own laboratory until she began to realize that that they were unleashing all sorts of very dangerous things on society. If you may want to get that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for Genetic Engineering.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, But isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alimex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alimex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alimex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that I believe it would might be very advantageous for you to think about getting a big Berkey water filter. Why? Well, if anything should happen, and ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not, why the government is considering that serious things are going to happen. They're laying in food and water supplies and supplies. They're even making special shelters for government officials. They've built a big underground bunker for Dick Cheney there in Washington, D.C. They know that there are going to be biological and chemical attacks here in America. But, of course, they're trying to scare you to death with all this threat of the, they're going to do another terrorist attack. But I'm talking about something really of a major, major element. And then, of course, I believe, of course, if you look at this from a theological point of view, I think God is going to bring punishment on this country because of the terrible things that we've allowed to happen. Men and women become accomplices of the evils that they fail to oppose, and we certainly go right along with whatever our leaders say. And, of course, we're just jumping up and down with glee as our forces move into Iraq to find the weapons of mass destruction, which weren't there. And as we told you beforehand, that we knew they'd moved to Syria, and the government knew they'd been moved to Syria, but they didn't want the American people to know that they knew, because then how could we justify going to war with the wicked Saddam Hussein, who previously was a CIA agent? If you want the documentation on that, written 10 years ago, we have it. And then, of course, so think very seriously about getting a big Berkey water filter. You can get by without food. You can't get by without water. These, of course, filter 2.5 gallons at a time. The big Berkey is stainless steel. It has ceramic filters that are actually filled with activated carbon. Now, these ordinarily go for $279. They're $239 from Radio Liberty. And if you buy it from us, why, you get a free 4-tape set or a free video if you request it. You have to pay for shipping. I think it's $10 for shipping. But these are not available in California or Iowa. They're available in every other state. However, if you'd like to get a portable water filter for the use in California, why, there is one that's called a Berkey Light, and it's made out of a polymer, so you can actually see inside. It has a different filter. In fact, it's a water purification filter rather than a regular filter. There was called the Black Berkey filters, and they will simply remove just about all the bacteria, or even a billion bacteria per liter. There is no measurable bacteria after that, and does an excellent job. But you have to replace these filters every 2 to 4 years, depending upon how often they're used. So if you'd like to find out more about the items, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or certainly go to our website. You can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to order either the big Berkey or the Berkey Light, which is available, the portable filter right here in California. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and you'll want to go to his website at billsardi.com. We're talking about the new genetic engineering, this farming, PHARMING, by which, of course, they're beginning to produce biological products. They're growing them in the fields. They're putting new enzymes in there to create vaccines and enzymes to produce various products that you might want. For instance, they had this wonderful gene. I don't know how they used it, but they made L-tryptophan, which was something very, very good for sleeping. It really helped people to sleep. The only trouble was they made a little mistake there, and 47 people died, and 1,500 had permanent injury as a result of this genetic experiment that was done as a means of producing a product. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Illinois. Hi, John. How are you?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Really quick, though, how do you spell Bill's last name?
S-A-R-D-I.
Oh, I, okay. I had a Y.
Bill Sardi, and ask. Just go to askbillsardi.com on the web. I really appreciate it, and he's got some great books and a lot of good advice there.
Okay. Real quick on this SARS, there's a lot of hype on it in the media, and sometimes I'm a little bit curious as to why they're pushing the fear so much. Is it something that's really serious for Americans, or is it just all hype?
All right, well, let's get Bill's response, and then I'll tell you my view. Bill, how would you respond to John, who says, hey, it looks like they're really, is this a lot of hype, or is this something we really ought to be concerned about?
Well, of course, here in the United States, they're calling it MARS instead of SARS, which means mild acute respiratory syndrome. We don't seem to find the mortality, the cases of death. I believe maybe one has died now or something. For a number of reasons, it may be better nutrition or what have you. We're not exactly sure. But at any rate, it does not seem to be a giant public health threat here. Public health authorities don't seem to be alarmed, except the CDC, unusually, which seems to be inflating the numbers of cases for whatever reason. And, of course, I just want to let your audience know, are we just vulnerable to disease, and do we need to just try these vaccines and things are developing, or do we have anything better? Nature has some wonderful things. You know, we only have a few weapons against viruses, a few antiviral drugs. I mean, did you know that there is actually a natural molecule on the planet that kills both viruses and bacteria? In other words, anthrax is a bacteria, and, of course, smallpox is a virus. But, you know, we have an active molecule. It's called allicin. You find it only in fresh garlic, or some people have heard me talking about this Allimax pill, that the first one that has the real active allicin, regardless of what you see on everybody else's packages of garlic. But if you can get fresh garlic and crush it, you can get this active molecule, and it's been shown to be active against vaccinia. That's the one they use for the smallpox. And, of course, bacillus anthracis, which is a bacilli that, of course, for anthrax. I mean, we have some wonderful things in nature. Why aren't we utilizing them? They don't want us to find out about these. I noticed the natural products industry put out a bullet and said there are no natural cures for anthrax or smallpox. Of course, they're just buckling into the pressure because they don't want us to find out about these things. So we'll have to be reliant on government. We'll have to, accept these cures, and they're going to scare us, coerce us, or whatever they're going to do into getting these things and create markets for their products from these big companies. One, I would not be overly concerned. Number two, I would keep learning, educate yourself, and regardless of the availability of any cure, in a widespread pandemic, none of it will be available. You better have it as close as your kitchen cupboard. I'm telling you, nature does it better.
And, of course, that is, of course, in the Petri dish or in the laboratory, it kills the smallpox.
These studies have all been done in laboratory dishes and so on, but to make that clear, the drug companies can't test their cures in anything other than a Petri dish in a laboratory because you can't do human experiments. Now, that doesn't mean it works as good as these other drugs, because they're able to fix the dose, and that's the only thing the doctors use. We don't have any tests where they use it. But for something that might buy time for you until you can get the proper care, you might think of having these things at home.
All right, John, and I think that this is a great scam. I think that you go to the Wall Street Journal day after day, 5 articles a day. A New York Times, 4 articles a day. Everybody's got pictures of people wearing masks. They're playing games with our minds. I think that they're distracting us from other really important things, but this is how they control the reality of the American people and create that sense of fear and awe. And, of course, until the American people understand we're really being manipulated, they're not going to be able to be effective. Anything else, John?
I do have one more question.
Okay, well, you're going to have to hang on until after the break, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to tell you about a couple of the other items we carry here. One of them, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but I'll tell you, a lot of the people who use them claim that they have done miraculous things for them. We have people who tell us that all sorts of benefits that they've tried other things, and nothing really works quite as well. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a gel and a lotion and a neutralizing solution, a very alkaline neutralizing solution, which some people take for heartburn. And all we can do is say you can try these products and see if they'll help you. And I know that Joyce Riley has used a lot of this with the veterans who have these chronic rashes that nothing will help. And they've gone to their dermatologist, and some of the people, of course, say they've had just amazing results. As she says, this isn't a soap, it's a miracle. Give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 for Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will seriously want to think about getting a Monopoly set for your children or for your grandchildren, a wonderful way to teach them and you, if you need it, how to read phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, how to spell phonetically. And I've had people 50 or 60 years old call me and tell me that they played it through once and they're going to play it through again, or they played it through twice and they're going to play it a third time, because they've learned so much, the basic sounds of the English language, the rules which you never learned in school. They've dumbed down our children. And, of course, the best thing we can do is counter it. In 16 hours, why a child can learn how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Most of these programs take forever. They cost $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This one's $139.95. And we throw in a couple of books. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you have children or grandchildren and you want to get them homeschooled, we have the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. It's on 22 CDs, and everything's there that you need, the textbooks, the tests, the lesson plans. All you really have to do is grade a paper every week, just to make sure, an essay, to make sure they're learning how to write and spell effectively. And of course, the only books you have to buy are the Saxon math books. And you don't want your child on the computer. You want them reading. You want them studying. You want them to learn really how exciting it is to learn. And you don't want them going to school, because the peer pressure will destroy them. If you'd like to get the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, over 50,000 of these out across America, they cost $199.95. And that's the whole education. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and we've still got a John on the line from Illinois. Did you have another question, John?
Yes, thanks, Dan. Bill, just one quick question. I hear a lot of products advertised a lot, and you have no way of knowing whether or not they're any good or their claims are proper.
We're always trying to give you references when we hear these things. I know there's a lot of claims for products that make you live longer. Some of those, most of those don't live up to what they're saying. There's claims. You need to check the references on all these things. You know, I try to give those to you. I'm commercially involved in some of them, and, you know, it's not a question of that. It's a question of what kind of evidence can you provide people that this is true, what people are saying. Now remember, when people have natural remedies, the FDA does not allow those companies to say that these things are equivalent to drugs. It does not allow them to say that they prevent or treat disease and so on. And maybe some of that is fair. On the other hand, under freedom of speech, we can tell you that certain molecules found, let's say, for instance, in fresh garlic, you know, that molecule, allicin, has been found to be active against some of these bugs, viruses, bacteria, and so on. Now, is it a cure? Has it been tested? No, but neither have any of the other things. They can't be tested anything ethically outside of a test tube. You can't use it in a human test. You'd kill people. But the public has a right, I think, to know those things. Can that translate to, this product by this name does that? No, not necessarily. And that's what Dr. Stan's warning you of, too. But this is the best information we have. And it's pretty exciting information when we find out that natural remedies may be the way for us to go. By the way, with so much drug resistance in the area of bacterial infections, we have no other course but to go to these. They're using, there was a wonderful study conducted, I believe it was at Yale, and where they took every bacterium that they knew and tested it against all known kinds of spices and herbs, and it was garlic, oregano, onions, and allspice that killed every known pathogenic bacterium that they could test. So, I mean, this is exciting news if we can just learn how to capture that. There are ingredients in these natural herbs. Allicin is what's in fresh crushed garlic. It doesn't last there long. You have to crush it and use it then. There's one pill here that's now available that has some active allicin in it. In oregano, there's a little component called carvacrol. So you have to look on the labels and see, well, how much of that active ingredient is in there? In olive leaf extract, you're looking for something called oleuropein. It's kind of an odd-sounding name, but those are the active ingredients that are the things that are killing both viruses and bacteria. These are exciting natural molecules that kill both bacteria and viruses and so on. The public has a right to know this and to know that they do not cause antibiotic resistance. Now, do those things, are they effective cures? Have we tested them against every disease? No, and we only fault our National Institutes of Health for not conducting the study so we'd know for sure.
Well, John, we carry an excellent book. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Blaylock. And it covers a lot of these things that Bill talks about, and that you can get that through our ministry or go to Bill's website. But just check out the facts and the final analysis. You know that nobody's going to advertise a product and say, but my product really doesn't work. So, they're always going to tell you that it works better than any other. But there are scientific studies out there that really show you which things do work, and there have been a lot of studies done on these various health products. They know that tomatoes will cut down the incidence of prostatic cancer, and the broccoli will cut down the incidence of certainly of intestinal cancer. There have been a lot of these things that have been around for a long time, and we're just going to have to begin to learn them all over again. Anything else, John?
No, that'll be it. Thanks.
All right, thanks so very much. Let's go to Nathan, and again, our telephone number, if you're out there across America and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We're really talking about the genetic engineering. Are we creating Frankenfoods? Well, I think we really are. I've been very, very reluctant to take a stand on either side of this issue because it wasn't certain, although I did talk to my cousin, who is a professor, now emeritus of engineering, asked him what he thought of the genetic engineering, and he looked a little funny, and he said, well, we're going to have to be awfully careful. And, of course, my fear is we're really not being awfully careful. We can get into some real trouble. And when you read this book about all the things that they have done that have been just disasters, and what do? They keep on doing it because it's great for the company stock. Well, Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'd like your comment on what I'm about to say. I believe that there's something in the scriptures that pertains directly to human health and probably to a lot of the subjects that you're talking about, and that it's basically laid out in Genesis 9, that man is supposed to not consume blood and is supposed to only prepare meat in certain ways. And you notice that if it is true what they claim the origin of the SARS virus is, now we can question perhaps it is something other than what they say, but if it is true what they say, it's very interesting that It happened to come from an area where people, with due respect to the Chinese, I have nothing, I think they're great people, but they don't slaughter meat according to the biblical commandment laid out in Genesis 9.
Well, I think you might be very interested in the book that Bill has written of basically going into the Bible all about foods and nutrition. How would you respond to Nathan and Bill?
Well, certainly the Bible had all of this correct. Both your previous caller asking, about all these claims, are they real or not? We have a lot of claims, false claims about people living long in Pakistan, the Hunzas, or the people on Okinawa. A lot of these things don't hold water. So I went back and studied why is it the people were free of disease and lived so long in the Bible. I mean, even to the outrageous claim of living hundreds of years, you're going to find the answer for that in my new book, The Bible Prescription for Health and Longevity, you're going to find that that book was not so insane. It was not mythology, that it was talking about real things. Apparently, humans made their own vitamin C, just as the animals, most animals still do, before Noah's flood, and this was the reason for the longevity and so on. And then you're going to find there was a genetic mutation probably thereafter. The human genome was narrowed to about 8, which was Noah's immediate family. And then there was a bottleneck in the gene pool, and apparently then a man had a genetic mutation, could no longer make vitamin C, and we see a progressive mutation in man's lifespan dwindling down. Your caller asked about the issue of blood. Well, blood carries iron. That's where 80% of the iron is in the body, and you're going to find that iron is the growth agent, the primary growth agent for bacteria, viruses, funguses, and tumor cells. So iron controls disease, and therefore the Bible was right in saying it was the blood, and of course warning against eating blood, because then you'd get a real big dose of iron, and therefore you'd subject yourself to creating an environment for disease to spread. And that's why women menstruate, being protected by God from disease. They're the baby carriers, and they lose their iron, or that is their blood, once a month. They have low iron levels. God bless the women. They're pale, they're weak, they're tired, but they're low in iron and they're protected from disease. God made it that way. So,
okay, anything else, Nathan?
Well, it'd just be amazing how much better things would be if we just followed the basic laws that God...
You won't get any arguments from us at all. Thanks so much, Nathan. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And that was Nathan calling from Contra Costa County. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And of course, the book we've been talking about in both the first hour and the second hour, Genetic Engineering, A Dream or Nightmare, by May Wan Ho. And of course, he is had a own bioengineering laboratory over in Great Britain. I worked at it for 10 or 15 years, and suddenly began to realize, of course, what they were doing. And she found that, of course, they were creating situations where suddenly we would have the crops that supposedly were going to be much more hardy, and then, of course, everything would backfire on them. And instead of being more hardy, they weren't, and they created cotton and wonderful cotton crops. And then two generations down the line, why all the cotton balls fell off the cotton, and so many examples of just everything backfiring. But of course, the companies can't come out and admit this because it would be terrible for their stocks. And that really seems to be the major thing, is to run up the stock prices. But a lot of these companies are not making a great deal of profit, other than, of course, in simply pyramiding the stocks, and then, of course, getting out as quickly as you can before the average individual realizes that there's very little to so much of this genetic engineering.
Well, one of the responses of the biotech companies is, as you know, is the pollen from a biotech crop can go beyond the safety margin zone they have around the crop itself. Well, it's been known that pollen can travel actually miles. They've found pollen 400 miles out at sea. Now, how in the world are you going to create a safety margin around a crop and make sure the pollen doesn't get out and, of course, cause trouble, this genetically modified pollen? Well, the answer from the biotech companies, we'll just make a plant that doesn't produce any pollen. That was their smug answer. So, boy, oh boy, you know, I mean, you just want to hit yourself in the head. They just seem to be so cavalier about this. They don't mind letting the genie out of the bottle. Where are we going? Where are we headed in this insane world that we're in? And why do we hear about all these diseases all of a sudden? Ebola and anthrax and smallpox. The ones that we conquered were being used to scare us, and now new ones are being invented, like SARS, and they're being given unbelievable publicity when we have much more, dangerous diseases.
Well, of course, if you study the background of AIDS, it never existed before the mid-1970s, when, of course, there were some the vaccine experiments done, and, of course, they gave a specific vaccine, a hepatitis B vaccine, that was, of course, grown in the children of the Willow Creek schools because they were expendable. So they infected them with hepatitis B, and then they took the virus and they put it into chimpanzees and grew it. But a lot of these chimpanzees have been used for other other experiments that have been injected with all sorts of viruses. And if you want to read these incredible things, it'll be in my next newsletter from the government reports, which incidentally were all supposed to be shredded, but a couple of them weren't. And so, and then of course they took that and they made the hepatitis B vaccine that they gave to homosexuals in the United States and of course to blacks in Africa in eight different areas where the epidemic is centered. And in San Francisco, the homosexuals that took that vaccine, almost 78% of them developed AIDS. That didn't happen just by accident.
Look here at the report in The Economist for May 1st, 2003, the article, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It's talking about one disease, malaria, how it's killed millions. At the end of the article, it said, best of all would be a vaccine which does not exist yet. That was on May the 1st. By the end of the month, a drug company introduced a vaccine and says it's going for approval. Were we being set up? You bet we were. The journalists weren't telling us the truth. The World Health Organization's just a publicity agency for the pharmaceutical companies. They've got a vaccine cooking for malaria. Now they want to give that to the world. It doesn't mean all these things are bad, but it does mean, hey, we're asking questions here. Are we being manipulated? Why aren't we being told the truth? I mean, here's an article that says there isn't a vaccine yet, and then at the end of the month they announce there is one.
Well, of course, in the countries in Africa where they have simply thumbed their nose at the United States and allowed spraying in the house, just a very, very small amount in the house, maybe twice a year, certainly wouldn't do any harm at all. Why, they've cut down on the incidence of malaria dramatically, 90%. And what are we telling them? Oh, well, we want to put fishnets over your beds. And places we're doing that, why the malaria is killing up to 10 million people every year, according to a recent article in the Washington Times. Everybody wants to read that. Ordinarily, you're told it's only 3 million, but the Washington Times says 10 million. And why? Well, because we won't let them use DDT. Why not use it if it's going to save all those lives? Oh, my goodness, don't you remember Rachel Carson? And we can't possibly allow people to do what they want to do because we are from the government, and we know what's best for the people all over the world. The trouble is we don't have malaria here in America, but it's killing the people in Africa and, of course, making them chronically ill and weak. And now, the medicines traditionally used for malaria are no longer effective. But we won't let them use DDT.
Well, and of course, we see a rather interesting development. Bill Gates, who has an interest in a philanthropic interest in developing and helping the world with vaccines and health issues, and it looks like he's being used to pave the way for this whole idea of these vaccines for the biotechnology industry. I mean, he's going out and going to these countries and spending his money to develop vaccination programs, and of course they're just going to plug in these new types of vaccines. Is Bill Gates using his philanthropy to create a marketplace for himself and others? I mean, we just have to ask. I'm not saying he doesn't have good interests, but we have to ask these questions. What's it all about? What are they doing? And of course, these people in these drug companies are telling you their new market is to vaccinate the entire world. What if they make a mistake?
Well, we do know that in Africa today, in Botswana, 40% of the adult population is now HIV infected and they're going to die. Very, very similar figures in many parts of South Africa today. In fact, the areas where, of course, you have the highest living standards, the most advanced and the best medical care are the areas of Africa where, of course, the highest incidence of AIDS are. And the most amazing thing, up to 40% of children who are born, who are HIV positive, their mother isn't HIV positive, and of course it's being suggested maybe they're getting that from contaminated needles. I don't think they use contaminated needles in South Africa. You have to wonder what's in their vaccines. Why would 40% of the children who are HIV positive have mothers who are not HIV positive? If you'd like the articles on that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the articles. We've got them from the CDC and elsewhere. But, of course, this is not being talked about much in America because, of course, how would you explain that unless we were doing something to kill off Africa?
Well, kill off Africa. What about China? We have a tremendous problem there, 1.5 billion people. More than 900 million of those Chinese are farmers, and they're undergoing a farm reform where they're modernizing the farms. There will be 300 million or more out-of-work farmers in the near future. What are they going to do with them? It's a real question. What are we going to do in our own countries with all these retirees who are running up health care bills and we're paying pensions for? You know, it's these diseases that strike the elderly, and if we wipe them out, boy, the bills the government would have to pay would be significantly reduced.
Well, thanks very much. Our guest has been Bill Sardi, and of course we're talking about the book, Genetic Engineering. His website, AskBillSardi.com. That's AskBillSardi.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Bill.
Nice.
Bye-bye, and we'll talk to you later. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just, of course, mention a couple of the things which I hope many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious thought to getting. And, of course, one of them would be the book we mentioned earlier, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock. And, of course, it has a whole section in there on, of course, biological warfare and what you can do to build up your immune system and getting those products on hand right now. And then, of course, we have our video, The War in Iraq. And we'll give you the overview of all of the wars of the last century and then culminating with the current war in Iraq. And it takes you into a small group, about 24 men and one woman, known as the Project for the New American Century, who set out in 1997 to take over the government of the United States, and of course they accomplished it. Who were the people? Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Jeb Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, William J. Bennett, of the Man of the Book of Virtues. Go to their website, newamericancentury.org, but it's all there, discussed in our video, and of course you will want to get our syllabus that goes with the video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. You can get the book, the video, or both of them together. And then if you don't have our Sustainable Development syllabus, you need to get that, and you can get that by itself, or you can get it with a video, or you can get it with a four-tape set, or you can get all of them together to really understand this whole move towards so-called sustainable development. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get our four tapes out on the secret government or on secret societies or a secret society special. There really are secret societies out there that do rule the world. If you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. It's $12.95. And I've had many people tell me that it's changed their life. Now, you can get the book or you can get the special, which is the book, a video and a four-tape set, pardon me, and a one-tape, and of course that whole thing is $29.95 plus shipping. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. But of course you'll know a lot more than most college professors when you finish reading it. It's brief, it's to the point. It will tell you, of course, who really runs the world. Did you know that every Secretary of State since 1953 has come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society? Gee, I wonder why Barbara Walters hasn't told us that. Could it be that she's a member of the CFR, as is Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw? Well, if you'd like to get any or all of these products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because our future, our family, our freedom are certainly under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind everybody out there in the listening audience that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and I do 5 hours of TikTok radio a day, and believe me, it's an expensive proposition to pay for radio and shortwave and internet time, but after all, if we lose America, what does it really matter? And so this is why I do what I do, and if you believe that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, if you believe that the really there's not a great deal of difference between the positions of the Republican and the Democrat parties as far as the communist dictatorship. If you believe in China, if you believe that communism is not dead, since there are 1.25 to 1.3 billion people living in China today, there's still communism in North Korea, in Vietnam, in Cuba. In fact, in Zimbabwe today, you have a communist dictatorship. You have one in Southwest Africa we installed, one in Angola we installed, the civil war in Zaire, the Congo, has to do with establishing communism there. And the media keeps telling us communism is dead. Isn't it wonderful we won the Cold War? What's wrong with that statement? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand they're playing games with our mind. They're controlling our perception. If you believe there's a problem, we hope many of you will call right now, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. And for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You've got our monthly newsletter, but you'll really be helping us. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, our April newsletter goes into the background of the AIDS epidemic, and so will our May newsletter, which we're working on right now. And, of course, we'll touch on SARS. We'll touch on how they're playing games with our mind, how effective they are in playing games with our minds. Communism is dead. We won the Cold War. But see, if we won the Cold War, why is communism in China still there? Well, it's not really communism. You have to understand, they call themselves communists, but they don't know what they're talking about. Are you going to believe us, or are you going to believe your lying eyes, as it were? I love that line. Well, we hope that many of you will. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and if you're interested in getting those big Berkeys, we offer them as well. We get them, of course, from Jim Shepherd, the Berkey man, and if you would like to get pictures of them or find out more about the water filters, go to our website, look at the various products we have, and of course you can listen to our radio programs there 5 hours a day and not get anything at all accomplished. But we hope that many of you will tell others about our website. And, of course, if you'd like to listen to our other programs, it's RadioLiberty.com. And if you have a live audio, why, you can hear our programs on a regular basis as we try to educate people about the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And then, of course, we ask all of our listeners out there to pray for America, because, of course, this truly is a spiritual battle. Pray for revival in America, because if America doesn't turn back to God, I am firmly convinced that God is going to turn his back on America. We ask you to, of course, pray for our leaders, to pray for our ministers, to pray for our boys who are overseas, who are definitely in harm's way. And, of course, this war is not going to end soon. We are in World War III, and there's going to be eventually a blowback against this country, as there always is, of course, when you are attacking others. Eventually, they will retaliate against you. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.